I'm preaching from 2 Samuel, going through 2 Samuel. We're going to go all the way through to 1 Kings. I'm preaching this morning on loving God, which is something that you already do, but I'm also preaching on something that you don't love, and it's your imperfections. And the approach I'm taking is about this problem that we all have of not being perfect, but loving God in this, and even not showing your love for Him perfectly, while trusting that God loves you with pure grace in your imperfections and mistakes. So this is to say that God wants us, He wants you to trust His grace when it comes to blessing your life with amazing gifts of wonderful things. So the question is, are you trusting God to bless your life with amazing gifts of wonderful things based completely, completely on His grace? And this is what I'm preaching on. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Love God and trust His grace for blessing. Father, I do ask that You would build us up with this sermon in Jesus' name. Help me to preach it accurately and properly. We want to learn from Your word. We want to appreciate Your grace, and we want to trust You for blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, looking into the past at a classroom full of illustrative lessons from God, we're in 2 Samuel, we're in 7, and we're also in the parallel 1 Chronicles 17. And when you look at those, 2 Samuel with 1 Chronicles, you get a detailed verse video to glean from the Spirit on loving God and trusting His grace for blessing your life. And the scene is David has taken over Jerusalem from the enemies of God. And now he set up household there in Jerusalem. And what David wanted was Jerusalem to be the permanent location of the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and the temple tent, usually called the tabernacle, ordained in the law, as the place the ark is to be kept. This is what God designed in His law. Now, historically, the ark and the tent of the Lord had this nomadic kind of existence. It moved all over the land. It was like a houseboat. It was sailing from port to port for generations throughout this kind of deserty area. And it docked in Shiloh for a while, and then on to other places for decade-long stays. And now David remade a tent for the ark. He's got it in Jerusalem. But David noticed something. David was noticing that he lived in a very nicely built house. In comparison, the ark, it just sat over there in a tent. And so David thought, you know, this is somehow imbalanced in respect to honoring God. So David has this idea that he's thinking, and he decides to tell Nathan the prophet. Well, Nathan, he had no prophecy for David concerning this, but he knew David was God's anointed king. Now, Nathan could see that the king wanted to do something about what seemed to be a disparity in honor. And the interesting thing about this is that both Nathan and David knew the old covenant law of God. They knew that God ordained the tent, the tabernacle, like what David had made. And he ordained it to be made according to strict instructions. And so Nathan should have quoted the law back to David, should have told David that God designed the tent, God wanted the tent, lest he gave Nathan some kind of prophetic insight. His law stands as what he wants. It's God's word, written word. But Nathan recognized David's God-given reign, and he knew David's love for God. So Nathan made a decision. Was not a perfect decision, because Nathan's like you. Not perfect, right? Nathan said to David, "Go do all that's in your heart, because the Lord's with you." But Nathan spoke too soon, and this was not good. And this is a fundamental issue on this teaching about God's grace with us, because we're not always good and we do little weird things that are not good, right? So after Nathan left David, that night a prophetic word did come from the Lord, and it came to Nathan. And in grace, think about grace, God explained what he thought about the matter. And Nathan was told to go back to David and tell him, "Thus says the Lord, are you, David, the one who should build me, the Lord, a house to dwell in? You shall not build a house for me to dwell in." Okay, so now we have this very uncomfortable situation. David loved God. He trusted God. He's like you. He's like me. We all need God's grace. We need God's grace because we don't always think and do things perfectly. We don't get it right. And then there's Nathan, loved God. And he's just like you. Nathan needed God's grace. If you look at what he said, remember to David, he didn't get his advice right. And so now Nathan is there, and he's having to retell David, he's sharing God's word with David, But God is also informing Nathan in kind of what I'm going to call a soft rebuke for speaking too soon to David by saying, you know, just go ahead and go and do all that's on your heart. You know why? Because the Lord's with you. Well, God had more to say. So Nathan's there, and he's got the prophecy, and he said, after all, I have never dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving about, going from tent to tent, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I ever say anything to the tribes of Israel or the judges of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? And those are those big cedars that they had growing back then. Most of them are gone now. Well, Nathan and David both knew God never said to build him anything other than this tent. So God's saying, he's already spoken. You understand what that means, right? They have God's word. You and I, we have God's word too. We have the Bible. And so what are we supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Listen to what God has already said and do it. And it's called obedience. And like God told Saul before ripping the kingdom from him and giving it over to David, he said to obey is better than sacrifice. Remember that? So let's get this straight. The tent that David had already made was fashioned according to the law. Making a building, though it seemed like a good idea, was not. And the awareness for us in this illustration is that we can be just like David and Nathan. Both of them were going along. They're loving God. They always love God. That's you, right? We love God. You know, and David's ideas seem like good ideas. They even look like humbleness, look like honor in action. And you can get ideas which seem good, may even look like humbleness, like honor to the Lord. And there's others, they could come along and they urge you on with whatever the idea is. Nathan's thinking, you know, why not go do all that's in your heart? Because the Lord's with you. And so this shows our tendency to make mistakes can happen because of things that seem like good ideas at the time. Very important point. But it's a mistake. And God doesn't like those kinds of mistakes because he quoted back to the word that he had already spoken and the way things have always been, which he's always liked. Right? So without grace, Nathan and David and all of us, we're in a lot of trouble because we make mistakes every single day. I do. I made the mistakes this morning. I'll probably make mistakes now. I'll probably make mistakes later. So without God's grace, I'm doomed. We're all doomed. Without grace, you're going to live a life gasping for survival till you die. Without grace, you just strive. You don't truly thrive. Well, Nathan and David, they thrived on God's grace. And you really, really, really need to know this. You now, you always have been since your salvation, you thrive in Christ Jesus. See, the grace that you get in Christ is more than unmerited favor. It is unmerited favor, but it's more. It's more. It's something you have as your existence. Know this. You exist in God's grace as God's grace work. That's just what you are right now, sitting here. When you leave, when you make mistakes, whatever it is, that's you. And so you love God and you love Christ, you love Christianity, you love Christians, you trust God for salvation. Now, trust his grace for more blessings to come. Now with David, Nathan continued to speak God's word to him, and he said, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you, David, from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Well, so David's hearing this. God's giving him this little history lesson. And there's this eerie resemblance to the rebuke that the Lord gave to King Saul when Saul was king. You know, when God condemned Saul, he tore his kingdom from him. The prophet Samuel said to Saul, he said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made by God to be the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? Well, Saul disobeyed God over and over and over out of selfishness, rebellious motives. He was just known for sin as the first king. So God said, I'm tearing your kingdom from you. I'm giving it to another. And so now here's Nathan with David, all right? And Nathan is with the other. He's talking to David, and the words are striking. They're very much like the opening of Samuel's rebuke to Saul. But now David gets, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. Well, David doesn't know what God's going to do. He's already heard, no, you're not going to build me a house. God never asked for one. He says, I never asked one. And so God's point is this. Why do you think you can do this now? And so David has no idea what God's about to do to David. But here's what he knows. He knows he loves God. He knows that he is imperfect. And he knows something else. He can hope for God's grace. But what about blessing? You know, the point of this sermon is for you to love God, which you do, and though you are imperfect, you can and must confidently and expectantly trust his grace for blessing your life with amazing gifts of wonderful things. And so there's Nathan. He's confronting David with the word of the Lord. And then the Lord says something that is far more abundant and beyond anything David could ask or imagine, not in respect to chastisement, but in respect to actually blessing David. God, listen to this. God said, I will make you a great name like the names of the great men who are on the earth. That's what he says next. Wow. Well, see, that's how grace looks. But God was not finished. He went on showering David with more blessings of wonderful things for you and for me too. Trust that God's grace is always there for you in Christ Jesus. But also know, it's like that classic song says, it is amazing grace. It's amazing because it goes far more abundantly beyond all that you can imagine. And it's also like the title of that book. It was written by Billy Graham's grandson, Surprised by Grace. It's surprising because it gives you far more above, beyond all that you ask or imagine, though you really don't deserve it. This is what happened to David. You know, when the apostle gave glory to God in Ephesians 3:20, here's what he said. God does far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or imagine according to the power of Christ at work within you. That's us. And so think of this, your life in Christ, and that's your extra blessing privilege that you have in the new covenant. The blessing of Christ in you is the benefit you have that David did not have, by the way. You always had the advocate with the Father living in you. And so what I'm pressing this morning is for you to truly believe, trust, and know that his abiding presence is always there for blessing your life with amazing gifts of wonderful things which go way beyond all that you can ask or imagine. Amen. And it comes by pure grace. And the grace cuts through your mistakes to bless you as a special child and his son. Well, David was in God's old covenant with Israel. So God said to David, I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and not be moved again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as before, even from the day I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. And what God said next is striking. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will build a house for you. Well, see how God turned the tables of David's error? He turned the tables of this house-building scheme into a blessing on David and God's house-blessing scheme. And so David's plan had been a mistake. Seemed sincere in love, but it was sin. Why? Because it went against God's word. Nevertheless, God said, I will build a house for you to bless you, David. And he's doing it despite David's mistakes. And that's how grace works with you. God blesses you in the grace despite your mistakes. And God went on revealing his wider plans that he had since the beginning of time. He said, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up one of your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. Okay. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. And when he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. This is a double prophecy. See, what happened here is God ordained that ultimately through David's son, Solomon, a house is going to actually be built for God's name. And so David's ambition was fulfilled through his own family line, where this became God's ambition through David. And in God's blessing, his loving kindness did not depart from Solomon. And David's throne was established forever. But God also revealed that David's son, if you'll notice about the prophecy when I read it, his son will commit iniquity. And Solomon did over and over, just like we all do. You know, Solomon was not perfect. He was a really good king, but not, well, he made mistakes. And God told David that when his son commits iniquity, God's going to correct him with the chastisement of using others to do so. That happened with Solomon. But then God assured David with what this sermon is about, that God's grace, his loving kindness, and blessing will never, ever, ever depart from him. And that happened to Solomon too. But it's not just for him. It's for you in Christ Jesus. And so also I want to explain what I had said earlier about this prophecy being a double prophecy. It's a prophecy with layers. And so it also revealed that the everlasting throne being fulfilled in David's descendant, Jesus Christ, who came to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the kingdom that goes on forever. And this is the next thing in the prophecy, and it says this: Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Well, generations later, Isaiah prophesied that the king that would sit on the everlasting throne is Christ Jesus, God incarnate, years before Jesus came. Isaiah 96:7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and evermore. Well, it's Jesus. Luke 31:33, an angel prophesied to Mary, the mother of Jesus, that her son would be fulfilling the same prophecy to David, saying, He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Well, after Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, Stephen was preaching to Israel that from the descendants of David, according to the promise God brought to Israel, the Savior Jesus. Romans 1 says the gospel of God was promised beforehand by God through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This happened with Nathan speaking to David. Okay? Concerning his son Jesus Christ, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. It's always Jesus. And then the writer of Hebrews shows that the part about Solomon having the father and son relationship with God, that part finds its ultimate family fulfillment in Jesus as God's only begotten son. Hebrews 1:5 says, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. Direct quote from what Nathan spoke to David. But instead of Jesus committing iniquity as Solomon was prophesied to do, what happened was this beautiful thing where God looked forward with all of his sovereign view to the iniquity of all of humanity that we all commit, all of our mistakes. And God had the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men put onto not Solomon, but onto Jesus as the one to pay the penalty for all our sins on the cross. Though sinless, he took our iniquities upon himself. And see, this is God's grace plan of ultimate blessing for you. And it was prophesied, it was told to David. Well, now, when God informed David of all this blessing through Nathan, David was amazed. And David said, Who am I, Lord God? And what is my house that you brought me this far? And yet, all you have done, Lord, has been a small thing in your eyes. Well, again, it's the same thing with you. You might think of yourself as insignificant, unworthy. I just make mistakes so much. You know, God's so tired of my mistakes. He just sees me as a big mistake maker. Hey, welcome to everybody. He sees us all as mistake makers. The only one that makes the mark of God's standard of righteousness is Jesus. And that's not a mistake. And since he makes it, we make it too because he's in us. So he sees you as the object of his grace. And anything that God does in your life by grace, anything he's doing, anything that he will do, has not been difficult for him to do, as David says to the Lord. That is, except for one thing. And that is coming to earth, dwelling in a body, to die a horrible death for you, to take your sins from you in pure love and pure grace, to bring ultimate blessing to you. And so remember the theme of this sermon, Love God, which means you do seek to obey him, but also trust his grace for blessing and more blessing because you're a mistake maker. And through that one difficult grace act, nothing is too difficult for him to do in grace for you. Well, next, David said to God, but you, Lord, have spoken also to the house of your servant David concerning the distant future. And David asks, is this your usual way of dealing with men, O sovereign Lord? You've treated me like a very important man. It's just so interesting. Just think about how much God loves you and thinks of you as being an important person. So keep listening to the Spirit. What you are hearing is the way God always treats you in his Son, Christ Jesus. As an important man, an important woman, that's what you are, as his child who carries the life of Christ in you. Well, David asks, what more can I say to you concerning the honor bestowed on me, your servant? For you know your servant, O Lord, God. God knows everything about David. He knows everything about you too, everything about Carrie. See? And now that David sees the blessing, he said, for the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know all these great things. Isn't that amazing? God has this care. And for you, in your special relationship in Christ, for the sake of God's word, in accordance with his heart, recognize that God does greatness for you over and over and over in continuous grace, and trust that he blesses you according to real grace and will do it again and again. He's not holding it back from you like you're that special Christian that doesn't need his grace. What does that mean? Well, there are a lot of Christians that think that way. Don't do that. That's not what the Lord's saying. That's not the way he is. So David asked God, and what nation on earth is like your people Israel, whom you went to redeem for yourself as a people and to make a name for yourself, and to do a great thing for yourself and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed, paid the purchase price to bring out for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods? There's a connection in all that to you. All who are in Christ are the people of God, a holy nation, though not perfect. All are made in the image of his perfect Son, Jesus, in God's eyes. We are redeemed for himself as a people in his name, his Son. He brought us out. And for what? To do great things for him, right? So again, the reminder that can't be worn out, you need to hear it. I even need to be encouraged in this over and over. God has also redeemed you continually to do great things, not just for him, but for you too. He's redeemed you to do great things for you. So keep looking forward to those awesome things from him for you. Know that this really is for yourself. I really want you to not be thinking these blessings are only for other Christians. They're for you. And so this is the urging. Look for the awesome things. Look for the great things. David said, for you have established yourself, your people, and you, our Lord, became their God. Over and over, the Spirit wants to lift up your soul. God has established you and his Son for himself, as his own, forever. It's not just a prophecy to David, it's to you. And God became your God by grace through faith. And so now, listen to David's prayer. He said, it has pleased you, Lord, to bless the house of your servant. Now put your name there. Say, it has pleased you, Lord, to bless me, to bless my house. David loved God. Recognize you love Jesus. David trusted in God's grace. Say, I trust you, Lord. I trust your grace. Pray. David shows us the grace of God blessing. Pleases God for him to continue to bless you. So in your heart, be expecting. Let the Lord know it. God, I look forward to your blessings. Abundantly above anything I could possibly imagine. I look forward to it. Thank you for pleasing yourself in doing so. It's not just pleasing me, you're pleasing yourself in doing it. I live my life in love for you, and I live my life in your love for me. See, do that, and don't look at your imperfection as the standard for whether you are blessed by God or not. That is what so many people do. They look at their own self as the standard instead of Jesus as the standard. Remember God's grace, that's the standard. Now trust him for blessings, amen.